Good to see all of y'all today. Isn't it a beautiful day today? Yeah. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to open our service today a little bit differently. We have one of our dear members who's getting ready to have surgery, and she wanted the church to pray for. That at the very beginning. Oh, it's a dead spot right up in here. Hello? Hello? Can y'all hear me? Hello? Okay. All right. Can y'all hear me now? Okay. So, we're going to open with a prayer. Anytime we have members who request special prayer, prayer is always in order. So I'm going to ask Deacon Miller to come to the center. Deacon Smith, I think I just need a battery. Well, it's good enough. It's good. That undress and all that, I ain't gonna go through. I need some saints to come stand with her. All right, come on, Sister Cook. That's something when you got a member legally blind. She's gonna make her way down here to pray with somebody. All right, come on, Brother Cunningham. Those who don't want to come forward, if you want to, you can just stand where you are. God, our gracious, wonderful, mighty, omnipresent God.
Yes, sir.
We come knowing that there is nobody like you. We come thanking you that you opened the door at Calvary.
Yes, yes.
Thank you that we don't have to go through a prophet. We don't have to go through a priest.
Yes,
a deacon.
Yes, yes.
You told us that the door is open straight to you.
Yes.
Thank you for the privilege of prayer.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the honor of prayer.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for being a prayer hearing God.
Yes,
Lord. This our sister is going into surgery this week.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you that this week was your calendar before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Oh, you've already lined up the anesthesiologist. Oh, you've already given knowledge and wisdom and kindness to the surgeon.
Yes.
We know that you've given empathy and compassion to the nurses.
Yes.
And we just ask right now that you manifest your goodness.
Yes.
In this situation, let her be able to come out of this saying,
yes,
Lord. I know what God can do.
Yes.
We all in here know that you've brought all of us from a mighty long way.
Yes.
So we ask that you would please take all of her fears,
yes,
and throw them into the sea of forgetfulness.
Yes.
Whatever her anxieties,
yes,
help her to know that anxiety can't stand in front of the Alpha and Omega.
Yes, sir.
Help her to know that whatever illness she's doing and going through, nothing can stand in front of the great intercessor.
Yes, Lord.
Help her to know, Heavenly Master, that the God who made her is the God who can heal her.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Help her to know that the God who has been watching over her is the same God that is watching over her right now.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask that you would please allow her and everyone else in here,
yes, Lord,
who has a special request to, yes, know that you are still on the throne.
Yes.
You said you'd never leave us.
Yes.
You said you'd never forsake us.
Yes.
You said no weapon formed against us will prosper.
Hallelujah.
And you said you are our shepherd.
Yes, Lord.
So right now, please do what only God can do.
Yes.
And we thank you for your godness.
Yes, sir.
We thank you for your goodness.
Yes, sir.
And we thank you for your kindness.
Yes, sir.
It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Name.
Let every heart say amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Give us a minute. We got some technical difficulties. About to get some batteries, but I won't be going in and out. His name is call his name. Y'all don't mind right now, just in a spirit of worship, y'all help us call his name. His name is witness. I ought to have a witness in here. His name is I hope y'all ain't waiting for church to start. Church already started. Jesus. Does anybody know his name? name in here. Has anybody ever had to call him? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he be a bridge over troubled waters? Won't he be protection when you need it? Won't he be a lawyer in a courtroom? Won't he be a doctor in a sick room? Won't he be a healer when you need one? Can anybody lift your hands and call his name? One more time, help me call his name. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. All right, there we go. There we go. Okay, everybody, and you know what time it is. Page 477 in your hymn notes, if you need them. And you know, because of what this song means to our people always stand. When we sing, lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Lift every voice and sing, everyone. Lift, lift every voice till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies . Let our rejoicing rise. Rejoicing rise high, high as the listening. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith. Sing a song full of the faith. The dark has tested. Is that right? Sing a song, sing. Full of the hope that the present has brought us. Full of the hope that the present has brought. Facing, facing the rising sun of our new day be. Let us march on, let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road we trod, stony the road we trod. Bitter, bitter the chastening. Felt in the days when hope unborn. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary come to the place, come to the place for which our Father sighed. We have come over, we have come over a way that with tears has been watered. We have treading a path through the blood of the slaughter. Out from the gloomy past till now we stand at where the white gleam of our bright star is cast. Yes. Verse number 3, God of our weary years, God of our weary, God of our silent tears, sigh, thou who hast brought us thus far on, thou who hast brought thy might, thou who hast by thy might led us into the keep us forever, keep us for in the path we pray, the path we pray. Oh, thank you, Lord, lest our feet, lest our stray from the places, our God, where we met, lest our hearts, lest our drunk with the wine, drunk of the wine of the world, we forget thee, shadowed beneath thy hand, shadowed beneath thy hand. May we forever stand, may we forever true to our God, true to our God, true to our native land, our native land. Amen. Amen.
Good morning to you all. This is a day. This is a day that the Lord has made. If you're not glad about it, you ought to be glad about it. Whatever you're going through this week, He showed favor to allow you to come out this Sunday morning. Your troubles didn't sideline you, put you on the shelf. Your problems didn't overtake you. And He didn't leave you on a sick bed. But you made it, and that's something to praise and thank God for. God is good like that. My scripture reading took me to a passage this morning from the book of Jeremiah. While we partake of our communion display of unconditional love for us. Our scripture reading is coming from Corinthians. And it reads, "For I have received of the Lord, which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, and blessed it, saying, 'This is my body, which is broke for you. We do this and in the like manner, when he had taken the cup, blessed the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. For as often as you drink it, you show forth my death, burial, and resurrection until I come again." Let us drink together. And now it's prayer time, that we have the opportunity to come together in corporate prayer, praise, to our Lord and our Savior. We extend to you this invitation to come forth. Choose to desire. Otherwise, just stand in the pews where you're at. First of all, I just simply admonish you to think about God. And holy one, that you should know who you're praying to. Not to man, not to things that will touch and feel. Omniscient, omnipresent. You know he's everywhere at the same time. This is the God whom we pray to. And the comforting thing is that right now, where you're at, as close as your heartbeat. So, Lord, that is what we can thank you for. Giving us a mind and a heart to know you as God, as the great creator, as ruler, as healer, as friend. Thank you for choosing us, Lord. you didn't have to do. As the ushers assemble for our tithing offering. Comes from Malachi. And it begs the question, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offering, you have withheld. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into thy storehouse, so that there may be food found in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing that there is no more room to receive it. God's word for God's people.
Everybody. Let me ask y'all a question here. Anybody out there going through some battles in your life? Am I talking to anybody out there? You look at the person next to you and tell them, sure is, child.
Sure is, child.
Walter Hawkins wrote a song a while ago that said, you ain't gotta wait till the battle is over. You can shout now. The reason is that you know in the end, we gonna win, amen? We gonna ask Deacon Avis Dares if she'll come at this time. anyone in here today who feels that the Lord is worthy of worship? Take some time right now to give God the worship he deserves. Because in Revelation chapter 4, if you remember, John said that he saw all these living creatures around the throne. One thing that he had in common with all these creatures that all of them were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of his glory. Don't y'all look forward to the day when we're going to be up there with them? We'll be able to give him the glory he so rightfully deserves. Thank him for bringing you through what he brought you through. So if you don't mind, just help us worship him today. Holy. Praise today. Amen. He is worthy, isn't he? He is mighty. God, our Father, we come to you thanking you for all that you've done, asking you to now speak your truth to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We are so glad to see Sister McClellan here with us today. Amen. Yeah. Of course, y'all know we're glad to see all of y'all. But we thank God for this particular day. What I'd like to ask you to do is to go to Isaiah 40, and after you get there, I need to tell you a story. Isaiah 40, there's a scripture we're going to read there. Hey, Brother Gil, how you doing? Well, that's good. Amen. Sitting in between the queen and the princess, huh? All right. Thank you, Minister McFarland. Y'all make sure she okay over there. he hollered amen. Didn't even look at her. Amen.
Right next to her.
Deacon Green, how you doing? Go ahead, get up. Amen. Amen. And for y'all who missed it, sitting right next to her is Zyla, who sang a beautiful tribute to her great-grandfather, and who, if I'm correct, Deacon Miller, will be getting baptized next month. Amen. Year was 975 BC. Y'all can't hear me? Okay, I'm going. It's something wrong with the microphone. That's all right. We're going to get that fixed, too. Y'all notice our sound ministry has been working hard. Y'all ain't hearing no ringing. Amen. Amen. They've been working hard. All right. So, yeah, I want to give credit where credit is due. Amen. So, we're going to get this fixed, too. The year was 975 BC. It was the year right after Solomon passed as the king. No Solomon. Let me back up because I ain't getting down there. I ain't getting down there to get my phone today. Primarily because somebody said, you better not get down there no more. I let y'all wonder who that was. She the one I obey. So Solomon, we all know Solomon regarding his wisdom. Aspects of Solomon that are not so pretty. Solomon was ruthless. Solomon came to the throne. He had 70 brothers. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I said that, bro. Kimba say what? He had 70. But now these were about different women. You know, his daddy was David. Come on. All right. You know, David did a whole lot more than dance. You know what I'm talking about? He had 70 brothers. And as soon as he became king of Israel, he had each one of them killed. In addition to that, when he came to the throne, he was wise, he was all of that. Hey, baby, she know who I'm talking to. And thing, you don't know who I'm talking about. Look here, at all of that, the thing was, Angie, and all of that, he had the brothers killed. He came to the throne. While he was on the throne, he actually married 700 women. He married 700 women. In addition to that, he had 300 second wives. Seven 700 primary queens and princesses. 300 secondary wives or concubines. That's 1,000. Amen. Now y'all can probably understand why later in his life he wrote Vanity of Vanities, all is vanity. All this ain't about nothing. He wrote Ecclesiastes. Now, when he first got there, his wisdom was there, and he was ruling, because when people say he was the wisest man in the world, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says he was the wisest king at that time. Okay. And he did not ask for wisdom just to have wisdom. He asked specifically if God would give him wisdom to rule his people. When you hear people say, oh, he was the wisest man anywhere, he was, that ain't what the Bible says. In addition to that, he then got older. Y'all know about the Queen of Sheba, right? She was from Ethiopia. So when he married her, it was a Negro marrying an African. They had a son. His name was Menelik. Menelik went back to Ethiopia with his mama. Then his mama sent him back to Jerusalem to his daddy to learn all of the secrets and all of what is necessary regarding Judaism, so that when the invasions took place in Jerusalem, they could not find the Ark of the Covenant because Menelik took it back to Ethiopia. He It is today in Ethiopia. Solomon sent it by his son to keep it safe from all of the invaders. Specifically Babylon. Now, this is what happened with Solomon. Solomon, that brother, he got to the place where he started, let me see, how did my mama used to say it, smelling yourself? Ain't that wasn't that the old saying? You start smelling yourself when you start thinking you were bigger than you really are. And in doing so, as he got older, all these wives who came from all these other places worshiping these other gods started to get to him. So he was worshiping God at first, but then when somebody rubbed his head, he decided to build a temple to whoever her God was. So he built a temple to the god Chemosh. He built a temple to the god Milcom. He built a temple to the goddess Ashtaroth. He built all of these high places to these other gods. He got so bold to the point where he built one across the street from God's temple. God, the Lord, showed up to him in person twice. Said, bruh, stop. Twice. Say, bruh, you stop. You know who I am. You know who your daddy was. So I'm telling you, stop worshiping these other gods. Now, let me ask y'all a question. This is just a very interesting question I just want to ask. If God showed up to you in person, I'm just throwing that out there. If he showed up to you in person, would you be inclined to listen to what he had to say? Twice he disregarded what God said. And the Bible says he became very, very angry with Solomon. You'll find all of this, write this down, because I want y'all to read it when you go home. 1 Kings chapters 10 through 12. 1 Kings chapters 10 through 12. Okay, I want y'all to read that when you go home at some point. 1 Kings chapters 10 through 12. God got angry with him, and God eventually sent a prophet to him. Now, there were two prophets that God used. One was Ahijah, not Elijah, Ahijah. Another was Shemaiah in this instance. And so he sent one to tell Solomon, all right, since you disobeyed, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. And I'm going to give it to one of your servants. But because I made a promise to your daddy, I'm not going to take it while you're alive. I'm going to take it from your son. He had a son by the name of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was not the smartest guy. Rehoboam was continuing something that Solomon had done, which was tax the people heavily. Solomon taxed the people exceedingly to the point where they were pleading to him to ease up off of the taxes. Solomon wouldn't listen. When he died, his son Rehoboam came, and they came to his son and said, "Can you ease up on what your daddy did?" And the son said, "Y'all come back in 3 days." Son talked to some elders around him who said, "Yeah, you better ease up. We think it's the best thing to do. Just ease up, because the people will follow you if you ease up. Of course, they will see that you have their best interest at heart." So after the elders left, Rehoboam called in his road dogs. Now, your drinking buddies ain't usually a good source. y'all hear what I'm saying? Usually not a good source of wisdom. You know what I'm saying? So the drinking buddy said, "Man, forget them people. In fact, you ought to go harder than your daddy. Yeah, they think they had it bad. You throw it down harder than their daddy did." So they came back 3 days later, and Rehoboam said, "You know what? What my daddy did to you ain't nothing compared to what I'm going to do to you." There was a man that Solomon had placed before he died over the tribe of Joseph. His name was Jeroboam. He was a servant. He was an individual who presumably, y'all still with me? I'm trying to condense this whole story to bring us to the scripture. So there was this servant. Yeah, he was the son of Nebat. And so, y'all remember Nebat? Yeah, me either. But the thing is, the thing is, you had Jeroboam, and when you have Jeroboam, Jeroboam led the delegation to go to Rehoboam and said, "Can you ease up some?" Jeroboam was there to represent the 10 tribes up north. Rehoboam was in Jerusalem, and he had around him the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. So he sent Jeroboam back and said, "I ain't doing nothing." Jeroboam and his delegation went back and they said, "Well, we don't know why we should be called your people no more. We don't even know why we should be considered to be the descendants of David. You cutting us like this? You know, you ain't supposed to do that to kinfolk." So they did this, and after they went back, Rehoboam had the nerve to send an envoy to Jeroboam in the group talking about, "You know, we're going to go up there and get the taxes I told you to get." So now you know what happened when the envoy got there. Okay, they stoned him. Rehoboam got the message, got on a chariot, and hightailed it back to Jerusalem. This is when they decided to split the kingdom. The kingdom had been prophesied to be split before Solomon died. Jeroboam was over the house of Joseph, and so Solomon noticed that he was a wonderful administrator, Simon. He was an exceptional leader. And so what Solomon did was to give him significant status in Israel. They were walking somewhere and caught him in a field, and Ahijah had on a nice garment. It was new garment. But Ahijah took his garment off, tore it in 12 pieces. Y'all know that's the number of tribes of Israel. He told Jeroboam, "Take 10 pieces. Jeroboam took 10 pieces. He said, "Thus says the word of the Lord, I'm giving you 10 of the tribes. But I am going to keep Judah for Rehoboam, because Rehoboam is still David's descendant. And I promised David that I would keep one of his descendants on the throne. That's when the kingdoms split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom, you got 10 tribes. Southern kingdom, you got Judah, Benjamin, and some Levites. It's just like this. During the Civil War, you had the North and the South. You had the Union, you had the Confederacy. So the North, that we consider the Union, that was now Israel. The South was now Judah. And they were separated. Y'all with me so far? All right. After that took place, and the separation took place in 975 BC, we come to 721 BC. Now, for those that are not used to how time is accounted then, when you are looking at BC or before Christ time, the smaller the number, the later it is. Because it brings you all the way up to Jesus' birth. And after that, you have Anno Domini, AD, BC, before Christ. And so if you got 1,000 B.C., that was way back there. If you got 2 B.C., that was closer to you. Are y'all with me? So with that going on, here we are at 721 B.C., 200 years from when the kingdom split in 975. When we are here, God has sent Assyria to capture Israel because of Israel's idolatry. What Solomon started, they continue. God kept sending prophets. Y'all better turn back to me. Y'all turn back to me. Y'all turn back to me. And they wouldn't do it. So the Lord said, okay, I got something for you. He said, I'm going to send somebody from the north who's going to come. Take the land I gave you. Take you out of your land and scatter you across the continent. Sound familiar? Take you from your ham homeland. Give somebody else, like Shell and BP, your land. Y'all, I don't think nobody heard me, Deacon Frank. I'm going to give Shell and BP your land. So that when I move you off your land, they're going to have you on these Feed the Children commercials. Wait a minute, I'm serious. They're going to have you on these Feed the Children commercials. And people are going to say you living in poverty. You weren't living in poverty. You were forced from where you were. You are now in an infertile place. And the only reason they have the fund is because they're going to get 80%. That's why I got to find the worst looking somebody with flies. And all, y'all, am I talking to anybody? I got to find, because I need that money, Jamal. I need that money. I'm going to pull at your heartstrings and make you pay me through the false image I project. How do I know this? When we make our donations from the church, started with Deacon Ashford, your mama, where's your area at? Sherry back there? There she is. Your mama. Started with Deacon Ashford. Whenever we made donations, we investigated first. Well, no, we ain't just going to give you some money because you say you need some money. My wife taught me long time ago, you must be a responsible steward with what God has given you. So when y'all get those, Sister Bond, everything, when y'all get those them reports about the donation, all them donations, all of that's been researched. And that's why some of them been cut out. Because they started out good, but they ain't good no more. Y'all hear what I'm saying? This was the thing about it. Israel, then, the northern kingdom, decided that they wanted to be like everybody else. And that was the big thing God was saying to them. You know what God was saying to them specifically? Y'all see her moving over here? Gwen getting closer to Gianna talking about, don't ask me, don't ask. God, now listen to this, because this is the whole crux of the message. God's people were not at a place to appreciate being unique. They always wanted to be like somebody else. They had no security in their own identity. One thing God hates is assimilation. Say it again. One thing God hates is assimilation. And when you trade consecration for assimilation, you spitting in his face. I called you to be special to me, and that ain't good enough. Now you want to go build a God, and then you want to pray to what you built. How stupid is that? You going to pray, you built it. Is anybody listening to me? You know what I'm saying? You built it, and now you going to pray to it? And then tell other folk you rather to have that than to have me? My question here, and I do not mean to offend in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but I do have a question that I'd like to ask any of you. How many of you are building things you worship? How many of you are spitting at your own individuality? Who God made you to be? Because you're too busy trying to please somebody else. You're too busy trying to get accepted by folk who don't care about you no way. Amen. You too busy trying to fit in when you were created not to fit in. And all these years you spend trying to be something you were never designed to be. And sometimes you wonder, why ain't I happy? The decimation of assimilation when you forego consecration is devastation. Anyone you try to please on this planet, you putting ahead of God. So what are you going to say when the individuals, okay, I'm trying to be everything that Brother Crenshaw wants me to be. I'm trying my Brother Crenshaw looked at me like, what you talking about, all right? What you talking about? I'm trying to be everything that Brother Chris Shaw wants. I'm just playing, Brother Chris Shaw. I'm just playing. I think he whispered to Deacon Frank. I ain't sitting up here no more. Look at this is the thing about it. But you think about it. You're trying to be everything. You're trying to get kudos from people. You're trying to be approved by people. You're trying to be this in front of people. When you gonna try to be it for God? And then you wonder why your life ain't working. It ain't working when you try to use a flathead screwdriver for a Phillips screw. Ain't no mystery. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be. There are certain things called prayer. There are certain things called studying the Word of God so God can talk to you. What you gonna tell him when you meet him? You gonna meet him. What you gonna tell him when you meet him? When Auntie Bathsheba and Uncle Remaliah ain't there. Barbara and Henry ain't there. That's my parents. Barbara's my mama and Henry's my daddy. Barbara and Henry ain't there. Ain't nobody standing in front of him but me. And the thing is, neither one of them can even vouch for me. Deacon Killian and Deacon Killian. And all the little Deacon Killians in the middle. see what I'm saying? Can't nobody vouch for me. You can't vouch for Zachary. You can't vouch for Elise when you get there. Because God's going to say, no. The only way, Nicholas, I let you stand in here and vouch for them is when you make them. When you create them, we can talk. When you create them, I will sit back and let you have whatever type of conversation. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't create them because you didn't create yourself. But you had the nerve to come up in here hollering about this your church. Yeah. Your church. Yo, church, ain't gonna never let me do that. Not with my church. Not with my church. When did you ever die? And don't you recognize in three generations ain't nobody gonna remember you no how? Raymond, somebody was asking me one time, what is your legacy? I said, I ain't got none. I got my children. But after I'm gone, two generations after me, ain't nobody going to know. You can have a picture up there all you want to. Ain't going to mean nothing to the people looking at it. Said, why didn't he shave? Y'all hear what I'm saying? But when are you going to be you? Have you ever thought about the fact that one of the reasons why the Lord may have you in a position where it appears that you are oppressed is so that you can't freely ruin your own life? How many of y'all know if y'all had complete freedom, y'all would go crazy? Hello, talk to somebody. Somebody wasn't looking. Brother Rose back there. Y'all tell Brother Rose and y'all talk to some other people. Turn somebody and tell them you know you crazy. Not you, Brother Staples. Not you, Brother Staples. I ain't talking about you, Brother Staples. We had a conversation yesterday. I ain't talking about you. But you know everybody. You know, the thing is, look at this. Have you ever thought? And I'm going to be through here in a minute. Y'all going to give me a few more minutes. Have you ever thought that God is trying to let you see something before he makes you see it? Come on, Carmen. His purpose is going to get carried out, Christy. Oh, you going to be what you was created to be. Now we can do this the easy way. Everywhere you've been in life is where you were ordained to be at that time. So you don't think you made no mistake. How can you make a mistake with a plan you didn't make? You need to learn to accept the reality. That's where I was supposed to be. That's where, did you do stupid stuff? Much. You know, did you grow? Not really. Not really. I'm in the process of growth. How many of y'all got growing to do? All right. Say it again. Put your hands up again. Growing again. All right. I'm looking back there at Philip. If he ain't put his hand up, I was going to make y'all go back there. Look at it. So the thing was, this is the thing about it. You have growing to do. This is the thing. You cannot keep living regretting where you were because that's where you were supposed to be. The Lord said, my blood erased what you did. Now come to me so I can show you what I created you to be. I didn't bring you through that hell so you could just sit there and look pretty. I didn't bring you through that hell so you could just walk around with your head up in the sky. I got a purpose for you. So that's why I tell you. Don't come to me, well, you can, but don't come to me expecting me, a mere human, to be able to give you directions on your destiny. I don't know mine. But I can tell you who you can go to. Wasn't we talking about that before church, Dean Frank, wasn't we talking about that before church? You ain't said it loud enough. Wasn't we talking about that? Hey, as an aside, y'all hear bro Dean Frank jump out with that God is? We ain't heard that in a long time.
And just this morning, Sister Lay was saying, tell Frank to sing it. I say, I ain't going to tell him to do that. Thing is, God is, but now what is you? Deacon Smith has his purpose. Raymond has his. Deacon Smith cannot be where Raymond is. Raymond is in the state capitol. Raymond is a representative representing the people. Raymond is a negotiator of the law. Raymond knows the law. Deacon Smith cannot be in Raymond's position. Deacon Smith would not care about the law. Deacon, if things got hairy, Deacon Smith may walk into the chamber armed. I don't know. And say, I get all this straight. Bottom line is, he got, ain't that right, Deacon Smith? Look, he waving. Everybody who know him know what I'm talking about. Everybody who know him know what I'm talking about. This is the thing about it. Listen to this. This is the thing about it. Let this be your last day trying to be something you ain't. Isaiah 40. When they went into captivity, I'm going to end with this scripture. It was when they were in captivity that the Lord told them this. When you look at the book of Isaiah, beginning in the 40th. I spoke to Sister Gant back in the back, y'all, because y'all remember she had open heart surgery and was in the hospital for I don't know how long, and the Lord brought her out and brought her back to us, and we just glad to see her. So the thing is, in Isaiah 40, beginning at the 40th chapter, God starts speaking to Israel and says, I'm not going to leave you oppressed always. And even in your oppression, I will still take care of you. Are y'all hearing me? I want every federal employee in this room to understand Elon Musk ain't Jesus. Okay, he can plan whatever he want to plan, but somebody already got the plan written out. All you need to know is not who Cash Patel is. You don't need to know who them other people is. All you need to know is the one who said all power. Is in my hand. That's who you depend on. He was here before the president before that. He was here before the president before that. He was here before that was a United States. He was here before that was a North America. He was here before that was a Canada. He was here before that was anything. So Isaiah 40. Yeah, I said 41 before 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I ain't got to the verse yet, Gwen. See that, Sister Tanksley? Now when I come up to her, she up there trying to hide behind Gianna. Now I'm up here, she talking out loud. Verse! I tell y'all what, y'all don't know how much we love Sister Gwen. Because look, what y'all see up here, that's Sister Gwen. Did y'all hear me what I said? When you talking about the choir and all that, Hey, Deacon Colleen. Hey, looking good back there. So the thing is, she been in the hospital too, y'all. Been in and many times. I mean many times. Then she got out, then she fell. Broke something. Was it a hip? Yeah, your hip. She broke her hip bone. Yeah, and look, the Lord brought her back to us. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell y'all why I mentioned her name, Justin. I'm going to tell y'all why I mentioned because last time I was talking, and I said something to somebody by her, and she said, well, he must not see me sitting here. Verse 28. Yeah, but I'm going to start at 28, Tracy. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth. Are y'all reading with me? He does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint and to the weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply, making it to abound. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And selected young men shall feebly, Lord have mercy, stumble. And what? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why they gonna do that, preacher? Because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I said yay. I said yay. I said yay. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they don't comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, surely, surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. And how long is it going to do it, y'all? And when it's all over, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. How long, y'all? God bless you. Bow your heads. God, we thank you for being our rock. Thank you for being our King. Thank you for being our Savior. And you've already done enough for us. We know you're going to take care of us right now. Might be somebody here who's not accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Right where you are, say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins at Calvary, and I believe you arose 3 days later. After that, just tell him, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. For those who want to join this fellowship, there are cards in the back of the pews in front of you. Feel free to take one. Fill it out front and back. And there will be, and when you go out of the sanctuary, there's a wooden box. Put it in that box. And members of the membership intake team will get your card, get in contact with you, and it would be an honor for us to love you with the love of Jesus the Christ. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be all glory, majesty, dominion, and power, not only now, but through the eternities of the eternities. It is in Jesus' name in the Greek, Yeshua in the Hebrew, that we end this worship experience. Y'all mind if I end it a little different? Y'all mind? Come on, Dr. Jones. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I said, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I said, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted. Come on, sing it, y'all. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I said, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I said, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus, call his name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I said, Jesus lifted me. I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus lifted me. I said, Jesus, 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 Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted. Now everybody give God a great big hallelujah. And tell him, thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together. Give God some praise. You are dismissed. God bless you.